chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. And Mark 10, verse 43 says, and this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus would always say things like this. And he wouldn't have one message for the pastor on stage and those in the crowd, but the message would be the same for everybody. And it reads, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So this morning, the title of my message is The Way of the Servant. So Jesus came to show us many things, but one of the foundational things that he came to show us is, what does it look like to be a servant? What does it look like to actually serve people? What does it look like to actually serve God? Now, oftentimes when we get saved, we have this vantage point that, okay, I'm right here. And if I just study hard enough and pray and do all these things, one day I'll be a minister on stage and people will see me and think I'm very close to God. We often think that the person on stage, for whatever reason, is closer to God than we are. But as Jesus shows, that is not the case. So this morning, we will be looking at the way of the servant, what it truly looks like to be a servant of Jesus. So turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, oftentimes we overlook the Old Testament because we truly don't know that the gospel is hidden in the Old Testament. And lots of things that Jesus did was simply just a revelation of what was said in the Old Testament. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to work through the first 10 verses. And my heart here is to show us what it looks like to truly be a servant. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And verse 1 reads, and it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elisha into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 3. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Verse 5. Once again, now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Now, what we have here is at the end of Prophet Elijah's ministry, he knew that God was about to rapture him. So for whatever reason, scripture isn't quite clear on this, he kept trying to get his servant to stay back so that he can simply be raptured. But every time he would say, hey, Elisha, stay back, he would say, no, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. Now, the scripture also mentions these group of people called the sons of the prophets. And at each stop, the sons of the prophets would come to him and say, Elisha, your master is about to leave you. And every single time he would say, I know, but keep quiet. So who are the sons of prophets? The sons of prophets, they were a part of what we call a school of prophets. They were true men of God who actually believed God. They were like you and I, everyday people that go to church, that speak truth. But verse 7 says something very, very interesting. And I'll read that. And verse 7 says this. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them, Elijah and Elisha, stood by the Jordan. So although the sons of the prophet spoke true things, they stood at a distance. Although they knew truth, although they had divine revelation from God, they stood far from the prophet. Now, many times, you and I, we can be that same way too. We can know true things. We can say true things, but we still stand at a distance. See, the sons of the prophets, they had a title. They were known as the sons of the prophets. They had a speaking ministry, and they were even accurate with what they were saying. So they were not false, but the scripture says that they stood at a distance from what God was about to do. And I believe that God inspired this scripture to be written this way because, once again, it shows us that just because you know what God is about to do doesn't mean you're close to him. Just because you know what the scripture says doesn't mean you're close to him. You can even prophesy and say true things and still be far from what God is about to do. Because ministry, speaking on stage, singing on stage, is not proof that we know God. Those things are not proof that we're close to him. So we see here that these men had a title, sons of the prophet. They were known as people who could pick the mind of God, yet they were distant from what God was about to do. And on the other hand, we have Elisha, who did not have a title. In fact, his title was servant. He was the servant of the prophet. So as I was studying to prep for this message, the Lord laid it on my heart saying, look at the history of Elisha. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Because sometimes we wonder, why is it that two people who can get saved at the same time, that after 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they end up at different points in God? Why is it that though we can go to the same church, hear the same things, but as time goes on, some of us actually step into the things that God has for us, and some of us don't? And we see here that in the call of the servant Elisha, we see exactly what makes a person truly stick to the way of the servant that God has called us to walk on. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says this. So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said to him, please Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Verse 21. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So the call of Elisha, he was called simply in the field, working. And when he was called, as we see here, just like Jesus has called you and I, in Luke 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So even in the Old Testament, Elisha was walking in the very thing that Jesus has called us to walk in. He said, I need to leave my mother and father and follow this man. Also, Matthew 19, verse 21. And this is Jesus speaking, and it says this. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. That is exactly what Elisha did. He was working in the field, working with his oxen. And as soon as he was called, what did he do? He took his oxen and he killed it, slaughtered it, boiled its flesh, sold all that he had, kissed his mom and dad bye, and followed the master. This is exactly what you and I have been called to do. We've been called to follow Jesus just like that. So we see here that the sons of the prophet, they had a title. They were people who were known to know the mind of God. However, Elisha, no title, just a servant. But he followed the master. He followed close. He wasn't too worried about prophecy. And let me say this. There's nothing wrong with prophecy. I believe in prophecy. I want to see us move in the gifts of prophecy. But with that being said, sometimes we chase prophecy and miss actually becoming what God has called us to be, because we think that if that prophecy comes, that it's just going to be. But the truth is this, that most times God is trying to change who you are from the inside out. And sometimes when we hear prophecy, we just sit back and think it's going to just magically come. But oftentimes, as the scripture has shown us, prophecy is often conditional. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. So we see here that even though it is in the details, the sons of the prophets, though they spoke true things, they stood at a distance. They did not want to get too close to the master. Whereas Elisha, though he was just a servant, he simply waited on the master. So this is the way of the servant. So let's jump back to 2 Kings 2 and we'll read verse 8. And verse 8 reads, now Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was that when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So verse 8 shows us that at some point there is a separation between the professional Christian and the servant. At some point, there is a separation between those who just have the title as the sons of the prophet and the actual servant who want to follow the master. We see here that Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. The water, the word of God. He struck the water. And that water divided the sons of the prophet and the actual servant who truly wanted to follow the master. And after they crossed over, that's when the master spoke. Not before. After they crossed over, that's when the master spoke. See, oftentimes we want to hear from God so bad, but we don't separate ourselves from the world. We want to hear from God so bad, but we don't cross over. We want to hear from God so bad, but we don't press in. We don't sit and wait. We rather hear other people, prophets, say things to us when we can hear from the master himself. And this is what we see here, that Elisha kept saying, "Hey, sons of prophet, please be quiet. I'm waiting on my master. He's yet to speak to me. I want to hear from him first." And this is the way of the servant, to simply wait on the Lord, to wait on your master, to wait on him to tell you what is next. John 16, verse 12 says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." See, some things are only revealed when we press in. Some things are only revealed when we crossed over. Some things are only revealed to those that actually want to wait on the Lord and not wait on man to tell them what the Lord is saying. Now, with that being said, God does use man to tell us what he's saying. But the heart of the servant is that if Moses can go up that mountain, then I can go up that mountain too. So we can all press in. We can all simply wait on the Lord, because this is the heart of the servant. So in verse 10, Elijah says this. "So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so.'" So as I said earlier, prophecy is often conditional. See, if Elisha did not wait until the master spoke, he would have never known this detail. If you see me, then you would get what you are asking from me. If you don't see me, then you will not. But sometimes we run with what people tell us and don't wait on the Lord to actually give us the actual conditions which we must walk in to be what he's called us to be. So he says that if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12. And Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. I read somewhere that every man is as close to God as he wants to be. every single one of us, we are as close to God as we choose to be, as we want to be, as we choose to press in to be. It's truly up to us. Once again, we see here that we might have the title. We might have a position that people say, oh, that person must be close to God. He's a pastor now. Or, oh, she sings and she does this stuff, so she must truly know God. But the truth about it is that being close to God is not measured by that. Being close to God is simply by becoming a servant. That's exactly what Jesus said, that if you love your life, you will lose it. But if you lay your life down, you will truly have eternal life. And that the greatest of us must become servants of all. And not just all, but especially him. And that's the thing is this, that the title of servant will never leave you. You will always be a servant. 2 Kings 3. In 2 Kings 3, after Elisha has the mantle, he's fully the prophet now. It says this in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the land here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. So even after Elisha became a prophet, he was still known as the servant who poured water on the hands of Elijah. A servant once, a servant always. God has called us to be servants. That is our first title. It's not minister. It's not prophet. It's not singer. It's not this. It's not that. We have been called to be his servants. That is what every single one of us have been called to be. So the message is really simple this morning. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be the son of the prophet? Someone who chases a title, someone who chases ministry. And ministry is not bad, but someone who makes that their definition of how close they are to God. Or will you actually be a servant? Will you wait on him? Will you press in when nobody is looking? Will you quiet down the noise that is coming from other men, good and bad, and wait on him to hear what he has to say? To hear what the master has to say to you. In closing, I will read one more scripture. And I believe it is in Luke chapter 10. But let me make sure. Give me one second. So it is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And verse 11 reads, actually is in Luke 18, verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I did not know that, but he just dropped it right in my mind. So amen. Luke 18, verse 10. And it says this, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like them down there watching me. Extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or as even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I own. But verse 13 says this, and the tax collector standing at a distance, standing afar off, just like the sons of the prophet were standing at a distance, right? He was standing at a distance. But it says this, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is Jesus in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So though we might stand at a distance, though we might have a distance between who we are and what God is doing, this scripture shows us that all we have to do is humble ourselves. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to beg for it. Just humble ourselves and say, Lord God, I feel like in this area of my life, I've fallen in love with this title. I've fallen in love with ministry. I've fallen in love with this thing, but I haven't truly waited on you. I haven't truly heard what you have to say. I haven't truly spent time with you. And if we humble ourselves, as the scripture says, this man went down to his house justified. He was justified at that moment. Why? Because the distance between us and God is honesty. It's not works. It's not what we can do. It's by simply saying, God, I can't do it. Help me. God, I am not right. You make me right. You justify me by your salvation, by your son, by the blood, by the cross. So this morning, once again, it's a simple, simple message. Who are we going to be? Are we going to chase titles? Are we going to chase what looks like closeness to God? Because trust me, standing up here does not make you any closer to God. Trust me. So who are we going to be? Are we going to be what we've been called to be? Servants. Or are we going to be those that chase what will end in this lifetime? Because once you cross over, once you step from earth into heaven, you're not a pastor no more. You're not a singer no more. I mean, yes, you sing, but you are only as good as your servanthood. So, I mean, I truly hope that somebody gets what I'm trying to say this morning, that we cannot fall in love with the things that are fading away. The only thing that we can be is what Christ has told us to be, which is to be a servant. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, all heads bowed. Let's just go to the Lord. And let's just ask him to search our hearts. Heavenly Father, you know who we are. You know how close we are to you. You know how far we are to you, Lord. Father, you know that it is very possible for us to fall in love with titles and things that we might be good at, that we might have been called to do, and we, at the same time, forget to wait on you. Father, we don't want to be people that fall in love with what the world sees. We want to fall in love with you. We want to wait for the master. We want to hear from you. We want to be like Elisha. We want to wait to hear what the master is saying and only move when he moves. So, Father, this morning, just search our hearts, Lord. Help us to be honest that if we are at a distance in any part of our lives, Father, we surrender it to you. We ask that you come in and clean house. Come in and take over. Come in and do only what you can do, Father. Because the only way to be justified is to be honest. Not to work for it. Not to strive for it. Not to beg for it. But to simply say, Father, help me. Help me. Help me. Lord God, we just thank you for this message. We thank you because you are an on-time God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you. Oh, Father, help us to be honest this morning. Help us to simply say, Father, we cannot do it. Only you can do it. Only you can make us clean. Search your hearts this morning. Come before him. Let him know that you cannot do it. God loves when we are honest. He loves when his children say, Father, help me. He loves when we simply say, Father, come and do what you have promised to do, which is cleanse me, which is to make me whole, which is to make me righteous. Oh, Father, help us not to fall in love with the titles, with the things that men praise, but to fall in love with you and to wait on you all the days of our lives.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for that message, Brother Ike. I got what he was saying, and it is something that I'm striving to do, is to listen to God and not what other people say, because other people can build your head up and really don't mean it. But we have to listen to God as he tells us what to do and where to go, and we follow his lead. Amen. Thank you all for coming out this morning. Thank you for those who joined us online. Hope that you enjoyed the service as well. I have just one announcement, and that is that if you haven't had a chance to give, please, we ask that you do so. It helps in spreading the word and all over, and we are really spreading the word all over. Whenever they have the charts out there, look, I mean, it is up and trending all over the place, not just Texas and other countries as well. And that is all I have. If you would stand, I'm going to say a prayer, dismiss, get out of here. And I hope to see you back at the 11 o'clock service. If not, maybe at the Wednesday night Bible study. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. You left it for us to read and get close to you, and you direct our paths. You speak to us when we come to you and study. You speak to us when we come to you on our knees, and it is you who we need to listen to. Help us, Lord, to not get all boastful and big-headed and running after this title and that title, but to just stay humble and be your servant. Father God, I pray this prayer in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.